Good morning, everyone. If you would go ahead and stand or make your way into the space. I was praying this morning and meditating and listening to the songs we're singing today, guys, and I just cannot even get my emotions under control. I had so many visions of how life is so not worth it without the Spirit of God. I mean, man, one day without a podcast or scripture or a worship song or a prayer just starts this disillusion of, for me anyway, like my channel to God getting smaller and smaller and smaller and eventually going down that path, I find myself in this bubble that just resists God's whispers and nudges to be still and be quiet and know that I am God and that you are loved. And I got so overwhelmed not knowing what to share with you guys this morning until I came across something that the writer of this first song we're singing, it's called Seasons. You've heard it once before. It's really beautiful and intense. And he says, you know, in Ecclesiastes, God says, for everything there is a season, every time for a matter under heaven. And the chapter goes on to say that God is able to make everything beautiful in its time. He says, I've been alive for 6 decades now, and I know from experience that God works within the framework of seasons with the intent to grow us into maturity. If you look back on your life, could you see that in your teens, in your 20s? I turned 30 last year. I thought this stuff was supposed to get easier. It's not. We are still walking through seasons. God still has promised to bring us from glory to glory. Have no idea what that's going to look like in my 40s and 50s and his 60s. And it's not supposed to end. God would not have created a world where humans would have designed the system of time. Everything is within a framework of time. So there's a line in the song that says, like a seed in the snow, I have been buried to grow. And that's so true of life. There'll be times on our journey when we will feel the cold face of life, where we will feel lost in seclusion or loneliness. Yet within this season, that's where you discover the deeper places of the relationship with the Lord, whose promise and presence is constant. We have to remain faithful and constant in that relationship as well to be able to emerge with the depth that only can be discovered in that winter season. There's another lyric that says, if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. That frames the loyal promise that this song also gives expression to. Whether you fully comprehend it or not, God is loyally committed to his work within you. He is the master architect, and he knows the exact timing and pace of what is perfect for you. He encourages you to rest. Now, see that in the people I come in contact with. I've had so many conversations with people this week, and the message, the whisper was, be still, let me encourage you. And all of these messages from God, it's him encouraging you. When you think of someone, Dusty said she thought of me this week, and I was like, I needed it. Even when she, you know, you might not reach out every time you think to someone, you're still praying for them. That is God coming into your spirit and encouraging people for you, or encouraging you through people. Oh, sorry guys, I know I'm long-winded this morning, but this stuff is so important. So I encourage you to rest in his providence and become acquainted with the treasure to be found within the wait. Be diligent with your current here and now, and all your tomorrows will arrive as divinely purposed. I was reading that this morning, and as soon as I came to the lyric, like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. And if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. My husband, who is not with us this morning, sent me a text with those words and quotes. I'm like, once again, a message. Like, I'm literally just, I'm reading in the middle of this line, and my husband texts me this message. So God, we come into your presence full of thankfulness this morning. You tell us to enter your courts with praise. And thank you for your promise that when we present ourselves to you in this manner, that there's something divine that happens. The floodgates are opened. God, and that's my request this morning, that as you stir those feelings of thankfulness and gratefulness, appreciation and praise in our hearts this morning, that your flood will just come through and wipe out every delusion that we may have created, for all of the debris that we may have allowed to come into our path that is blocking our ability to hear your word, and that our awareness will just be peeled wide, wide open to know that you will come through in your promises and that everything will be made beautiful in its time. Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature agrees us with the nature of patience. Like the seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. From sea to sequoia, and I know, though the winter is long, even richer, the harvest it brings, though my waiting prolongs even greater, your promise for me like a sea, I believe that my season will come.
for the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes and offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive your rain. Every sorrow, you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our own now to and with great anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done. We'll be right back. Thank you, God.
We were going to sing a new song today, and it's called Another in the Fire, and I love that song, and we're going to play it for you soon. But it spoke to me a lot this week because the older I get, I don't know where this anxiety comes in my life, but it creeps in all the time. It has a lot to do with the seasons. And I proclaim, things are ever changing. I'm learning as I get older and the kids, and there's different things that are thrown at me. But I thought about the song Another in the Fire, and it just, so oftentimes I'm in this place and I don't even acknowledge that he's with me. And this week I actually even went to the doctor because I have high blood pressure, and I wanted to get it checked out. When I left and as I was singing this song in my head the rest of the week, I just thought, my God, you're awesome. You're with me all the time. Father, I don't want to forget that. And when I'm in those moments, I just have to remember that he is with me. We're all going through things, and some things we pray for, it don't always work out. And that was another thing in this song. It says at the end, it says, and even if he doesn't, I will still praise you. And I just kept thinking of that all the time this week about, even if he doesn't, I will praise you, Father. I will continue to praise you. Because I thought about it. Say I have high blood pressure and I have to take medication. I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to praise him. We serve a mighty, mighty, mighty God that has gotten me to where I am, and I'm so thankful for that. Today, I want you to be thankful for everything that you've gone through to get to this point in your life. We all have those times when we're anxious. We all have those times when we're worried. But we need to know, Father, that you are with us all the time, and we thank you for that today, God. We praise you that in those times, you're with us. Today, God, I just thank you. I thank you. And Father, when I forget, you know, and you forgive me for that, because you know in my head, I know that you're with me, and you're with me all the time, God. I thought about this next song we're going to sing. It's just about opening your heart. It's just about knowing that your Father is with you all the time. When the waters get rough, he's there. And I'm going to say it again, what an awesome God that we serve. What an awesome God that we serve. We love you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving us love and peace, Father. Thank you that I have the ability to love. Thank you that even when I think you're not there, you're there. I praise you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, the feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stay. sweetness of your presence and the rising in victory through this journey is so worth the wait. It's worth the deep waters. It's worth walking through the unknown, knowing that you're with us, no matter how we feel. Thank you for making us aware of your love, your grace, and the mercy that is new with every morning. That as the sun rises and falls every day, as we rise and fall every day, God, that you are there. We love you so much. Thank you. Amen.
As a result, and I texted John and I said, John, I know he's catching a flight the next day. He's so kind to me. And I said, John, I said, are you guys affected by the weather in Japan? He said, Mom, are you affected by the weather in Arizona? And I thought, you know, nothing tests your self-esteem and your confidence like teenagers. You think you know, but you don't know. You don't know. I thought I knew how to dress. I don't know how to dress. I don't know. I thought for however many years, 40 years, I did this thing and I felt like I was doing it well. And then Anna turns two. Anna becomes a teenager and I don't know. But nothing tests my self-esteem or will test your confidence like teenagers. And nothing will test my self-confidence and self-esteem like third grade math. I'm going to get to a point here in a minute. Jet experience, we've been talking about principles, and principles aren't things that you just discover or things that you happen upon. Principles are things that you experience. That's when you know it's a principle that works, that you experience it. And so earlier this year, Jet came home and he brought home his math test, and it was a 70. And if you know Jet, I think I've told this story before, how Jet responds to, I hate to say bad grades, but bad grades, is, and I said, Jet, you know, man, what happened? You know, this is a 70. And typical Jet tackle response, at least it's a 70. You know, at least. And I said, you know what, Jet? I said, I looked at his math test, and, dude, it was fractions. I'm like, crap. And I said, I'm going to help you. Learn math. I'm going to help you learn fractions. So I left out of the room. I went into the kitchen. I said, John Henry, Anna, go teach your brother how to do fractions. And so I enlisted them. We sent him to tutoring on Mondays with his teacher. I went to tutoring with his teacher, and I sat with her, and I said, Miss Brandy, help me help Jet. So we worked hard. Finally, the next test comes around. And we're on the way to school, and he's riding in the back, doing kind of his thing. I said, hey, Jet, I said, let me pray over your math test. And he said, why in the world are you going to pray? It's going to be what it's going to be. And so he allowed me to pray, so I prayed. He goes in, takes his test. We get his test back a couple days later, and he made an A. Now, what Jet learned is that the principle of hard work and prayer, why? Because he experienced it. All of these things, you are never going to, you may know them to be true. There are a lot of principles that I know to be true. But until you experience them, that's when you internalize them and you really begin living them out. Dad has said that commandments keep you from injury, but principles will get you all that you want, more than you need. Don't you know that God wants us to live our best life right now? Right now. He wants you to experience laughter right now. He wants you to experience goodness right now. He wants you to live. God wants you to be happy. There are some people who will tell you, God doesn't care whether you're happy or not. He just wants you holy. God wants you holy, but God wants you. He's already made you holy. God wants you to experience your best life. But we determine what path we're going to take to get there, what principles we're going to follow to get there. A while back, Joey shared a message, and he said, your direction, right, determines your destination. The path you're headed on is going to determine where you're ending up. If you are on a path where you are eating well, exercising, your destination probably is going to be good health. If I am on a path to where I am being conscious about spending money, I'm probably going to end up getting to a place to where I'm financially sound or in a good place. Your direction will determine your destination. But we don't always know. We haphazardly can sometimes go through life and just kind of let things happen as they might without being intentional about where we're going. And sometimes we get on this path and we don't even know we're on, and we end up like, where are we? How did this happen? Or we don't even know that we're going down this wrong road. And so we go to Lynn and like, Lynn, fix me, fix this. And Lynn's going to look at me and say, I can't fix this, but you might just need to shift directions. Sometimes we don't need to be fixed. Most of the time, you don't need to be fixed. A fix is going to be a short term that's going to put a Band-Aid on it. It's not going to do anything. You got to shift directions and start doing things differently. Shift directions. Sometimes we get lost. Nobody gets lost on purpose. Everybody just started driving and get lost on purpose. I used to get super angry when I would get lost. Ask Chris. It was, God, anybody else get mad when you get lost? Just get mad. Hey, nobody's fault but yours. I'm the only one. Okay, just two. God has worked through that. Dad has shared the story before that he came out to Oklahoma City. We were going to go to this conference. I was still kind of new to the whole area and still learning. I didn't know everything like I'm familiar around here. And we get lost. We miss an exit. And I call Chris, and I am angry. And he's not helping me. He's like, I can't help you. I can't fix you. I don't know where you are. And I'd hang up and I'd call him again. I need help. I don't know where you are. And finally, Dad said, don't pick up that phone and call him again. And he's like, he couldn't help me. I had to shift directions. Now we have this thing on our phones. We thought it would be a great idea to get Life 360. Because we thought, we're going to know where our teenagers are, our kids are. Well, then we have the great idea, let's put Mom and Dad on it. Chris and I are on it. We're whole families on it. And now I'll get a text like, why aren't you at Target? And I'm like, you don't know my life. Like, stay out of it. Dad, you know how some people scroll through Facebook on their phone? Not Bjorn. He's on Life 360. Checking, I see you touched your phone. Oh, it'll show us if you touched your phone in the car. your top speed. And listen, nobody's getting off the path in our family. We will find you, and we will put you back on the right path. But most of the time, how many knows, we don't have a life 360 in life, in the directions that we need to be going. You have to experience these principles. And let me tell you, everything that you're experiencing right now is a result of everything you were doing yesterday. Everything I am doing right now is going to determine what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing tomorrow. I want that to sink in. What you're feeling and experiencing right now is a result. I'm not saying things don't happen out of our control. Of course they do. I'm talking about the things within our control, okay? We have a lot within our control. We have a lot within our control. And everything I'm doing right now, the words that I am saying, the connections that I am making, the world that I am building, all of these things, the habits that I am creating are affecting what I'm going to experience tomorrow. Dad wanted me to preach what the kingdom message has meant to me, and I'm going to read a scripture, unpack it, and then I'm going to show you how to live your best life. I'm still on the road to doing it. We're going to do it, and I'm going to try to speed this thing up so I can cover everything, okay? Matthew 7, 24, Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching, to these principles, and follows it, actually does them, is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand, and when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Whoever builds his house, your house is your life. It's your life. Whatever you're, however you're building your life with, that's your house. That is your life. It doesn't mean there's not going to be hard seasons. We sang this morning all about that we plant these seeds. God does these things in our life. We do these things that we're working towards, but you have to be patient, right? Jet just and Chris planted a garden in June. Don't judge. We know it's late in the season. Jet wanted to do it. He's the third kid. We plant a garden. So they plant a garden, and then we did carrots. Carrots are real finicky, I've learned. Those seeds are like this big. Who's ever planted carrots? There, Scott. Of course you have. Of course. And you plant, and so literally 5 days later, Jet comes running in the house. Carrots are ready. Those things pop up really fast. It's really kind of cool. And I'm like, dude, they're not ready. You pull it out now, it's going to be nothing, maybe that big. You got to take the time to let this thing go. Keep watering it. Keep doing what you know to do. We said, Jet, right now your job is to water it and get the weeds out. Don't let the weeds get out of control or it's going to mess up what you've got going on. Friday, Luke Doss works for us on the farm, and he's getting ready to leave. He's been working hard all day, and Jet comes up and says, Luke, did you water my garden? We're like, dude, Luke does not work for you. That is your garden. No one's going to do this thing for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. True story. And Luke just smiled. He's very gracious, very kind, and he loves Jet because he's the third kid. Jet's the third kid. He relates. So, like, Jet, that is your deal. So last night, we're at dinner, and we had told Jet, when we get home, you have to go water your garden. Big old thunderstorm, rain comes, and he says, guess I ain't got to water my garden. Look at that. And so, anyway, you got to stay on top of these weeds. Let me tell you what the weeds are in your life. They're obstacles, anything that gets in the way and detours you from doing the path that you know that you want to do to get to where you want to be. And those weeds for you might be naysayers, people who tell you you can't do it, people who say, Ron, that's a crazy decision. You're going to go to school again? You got to get away with those obstacles. I'm not that person. We're tight. Anything, even your own self-talk, whatever it is that's keeping you, the obstacles from doing the path and heading in the direction that you need to head. In Hebrews, Paul said, I strip off every weight, anything that trips me up from running the race that is set before me. And you got to stay on top of it, because if you don't stay on top of it, just like in a garden, if you don't continue to get it, gets out of control. And it's not that it's impossible to clean out, but it's going to take a lot more work to get to where you need it to get. A wise man builds his house. Building takes discipline. He builds his house, builds his life. Building is work. It's going to take longer than you think it's going to take. Dad always says it's going to cost more than you think it's going to cost, and it can get a lot messier than you intend it's going to get. But it takes discipline. It takes habit. Proverbs 14 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but ends in death. This death is not a literal death. I guess it can be when you make certain choices. But this death is not the life that's going to give you life to the full. A path, it seems right to someone says something bad about me, for me to say something bad about them. Seems right. When my kids were little, they'd say, why'd you hit your sister? She hit me first. Seems right to repay. Things that seem right, but that path always ends in not what you want. And so we don't always need to be fixed. We just need to change direction. So number one, if you're taking notes, it's the first thing to do to decide to get on the path to have the very best life that we can have is we decide to shift directions. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, you can enter God's kingdom. This is not heaven. Where's the kingdom of God? It is within you. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can enter into this righteousness, peace, and the Holy Ghost only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many of those who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. That's encouraging, isn't it? And only a few ever find it. I looked at the scripture in the Message translation, and it's so fantastic and really breaks this down really great for this message. You got it, Mom? Okay, BJ, thank you. And it says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. I have told you before, and I shared this with Lynn the other day because I came into her office and I shared this scripture with her, my total attention. I said, Lynn, I've told people this is easy. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm growing and expanding just like you. And it doesn't mean that the more you do it, the easier it gets. I go to Joey's class. Kate goes with me. We go on every day. We're faithful. But you know what? It's for me to start doing it was hard. But now it's easier because I'm in a routine of doing it. But there are some days it's hard, Joey. I make an excuse. I do, and I don't, because sometimes, but it requires, if I want to do this thing, it's vigorous, and it's going to require your total attention. This seems like a lot of work, because it is, but I'm telling you that it is possible. Sometimes these things seem so huge if I want a good marriage, and it seems so monumental, and how am I going to achieve this when I feel like we have so far to go? Or you want to change careers and you want to do this thing that was probably monumental for you to think about, but you had to say, I'm going to take it one step at a time and I'm going to get there. There's a book that I'm reading, and I brought it because I wanted to share it with you, that it's not a Christian book, but it's Christian if you read it. And it is called Atomic Habits. And it is really helping me discipline some things in my life. And it is tiny changes, remarkable results, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. How many know that a lot of things of what we do just becomes habit? Good, bad. It becomes a habit for your automatic reaction to be negative. There's actually an ant, the automatic negative response? That's not Aunt. What? Okay, same thing. Thanks, Chris. But this book, so let me read a quote from it. It says, changes that seem small and unimportant will compound into remarkable results if you're willing to stick with them. With the same habits, you'll end up with the same results. But with better habits, anything is possible. And it's a great book because it really teaches you how to break bad habits. It gives you step by step what to do and then good ways to implement good habits. And I really want to tell y'all about it, but he's not paying me, but you can go buy the book. When Anna was in second grade, she was 7 or 8 years old, and she approached Jenny, and she said, Jenny, I got a bad habit of cussing. Nothing like preacher's kids who go tell everybody they got a bad habit of cussing. Jenny was real good to her, and they were sitting on the porch swing together, and she kind of brought little Anna in and said, Anna, why you cuss? I don't know. I just like the sound of it. And so Jenny said, how about this? What if you put a rubber band around your wrist, and every time you say a cuss word, you just pop it? Anna goes, huh. She sits there. She says, what if I just say a cuss word just so I can pop it? And Jennifer said, girl, that's all I got. I'm out. And so what we realized is that Anna's going to do whatever Anna wants to do. So are you, and so am I. We are going to do whatever we want to do. This book talks about something called the 1% factor. He says, if you can get 1% better for each day for 1 year, you'll end up 37 times better by the time you're done. There's math involved in that. I believe it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Conversely, if you get 1% worse each day for a year, you'll decline down to zero. So he talks about, let's say that right now your goal, and I'm not trying to say everybody's goal is to have a better marriage. I think we all want a better marriage. But let's just say that Chris and I were struggling and I wanted things to improve. That 1% for me today might look like, I'm going to bring you coffee. You'd be like, what? Or I'm going to be intentional about saying one great thing. Jenny and I are struggling in our relationship, but I'm going to be intentional about encouraging you. One thing. Tomorrow, I'm going to do something else. And then the next day, I'm going to do something else. Sometimes we make these things bigger than they really have to be instead of taking tiny steps and not being so overwhelmed with them. The author talks about, he relates it to an airplane, a pilot. Let's say that Chris takes off out of L.A. and is heading to New York. And you're on that plane, and you want to go to New York. But as soon as Chris takes off, he adjusts the, what do you adjust? The course. Okay, that was easy. By 3.5 degrees south, you will end up in Washington, D.C., you don't know, the nose of the plane just barely moves. That little bit changes the trajectory of where you're going. Don't despise the little things. Don't despise the 1%. And when do you do it? When do you decide I'm going to shift direction? When? When your spouse starts behaving a certain way? When are you going to decide that you're going to start giving? When you make this much money? It's like asking somebody, when are you going to have children? When I have enough money? You ain't never going to have children. Because you ain't never going to have enough money. You might as well just have them now if you want them. Doesn't matter when. It's going to be the same. I just lost my train of thought. Are we preaching? The time to make the change is now. The time to make the change is now. You have to decide to change directions. Let me tell you what happens. When you decide, you move. You do it. Kate missed class one day this week. She had to work, and we were working out together the next day, and she said, I had the idea, since I missed this morning, to go work out with Scott that night. And she said, I should have just decided I was going to do it, because I didn't do it. When you decide to do something, things shift. You've got to make a decision to do it, and things will move. Number two, you decide to shift directions. Now here comes the work. You got to get real with yourself. You got to get real with yourself. David wrote, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart. My heart, what I believe about myself and what I believe about other people, and my mind, what I believe about these principles, what I believe about life. You got to get real with what you're believing about the thing that you're doing and with who you are. Carl Jung says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Every time Jesus, I was going to actually preach on the Sermon on the Mount and I changed it, but I'm going to address this. I may preach on it eventually. In fact, what Dad told me to preach on, but he's cool. When Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, everything he addressed was internal. He never focused on the external. He never focused on everything was about what's going on inside, because he knew that everything that you saw manifesting external was a direct result of everything going on internal. And the Sermon on the Mount gives these principles that seem just impossible, impossible to wrap our heads around, because he says that the law says, don't murder your brother, but I say, don't even get angry with him. The law says, don't commit adultery. I say, don't even lust. The law says, you come to the altar to present a sacrifice, and somebody's got something against you. You don't even have anything against them. But you know that person has something against you. You're the one. You go make it right. How do I not get angry? How do I not do these things? It seems so impossible, but the whole time, the whole purpose of the teachings of Jesus weren't to make our lives harder or impossible. They were to make us stop looking at everything else around us, outside of us. They were to make us stop looking and blaming other people, that this is the reason my life is the way it is. Or my parents are the reason my life is the way it is. Or my spouse is the reason my life is the way it is. And it was to make us look inside. Because he knew if he could get us to look inside, that's where the kingdom of heaven is. That's where righteousness, peace, and joy dwells. And if we can get there, we can unlock it and we can experience it every day. But you're never going to do it until you believe it, until you experience it. Let me tell you, what you believe about what you're doing matters, because you won't do it. You'll know it's true. You'll hear people tell you it's true. Dad will get up here. Will get up here. Joey will get up here. And they'll say something and you're not going to know it's true. But until you do it, you're not going to believe it. And until you believe it, you're not going to experience it. What you believe about what you're doing matters. I believe that all creatures are divine. I do. I believe that God made all creatures. All creatures are divine. I say I believe it. I know it's true. Dad told a story last week of I was getting ready to step on a cockroach, and Jet says, Mom, what's that cockroach ever done to you? I said, Jet, what do you want me to do with it? He said, put him outside and let him live his life. And so he's watching me. So that's what I did. Do I know all creatures are divine? Sure. Do I believe it? Apparently not. I was getting ready to end that guy's life right there. Do you know why Anna is more passionate about recycling than I am? Because she believes that our waste is really affecting the earth and hurting the earth. She really, do I know that it's true? I do, Anna. I know. But have I internalized it? Am I doing all I can to minimize the Tackle Household's footprint in the earth? I'm not. So do I really believe it? No, but every time I buy a plastic water bottle, she sends me a video of how I am affecting the ecosystem. So I am going to, look, we're doing it now. We're recycling. We're doing better. You don't. She sees you using a plastic straw. She's going to go buy you one that's sustainable. I mean, she is on a mission. But she did not believe cussing was bad, but she believes that our waste is affecting the earth. Right? Right. What you believe, when you hear this, will affect what you do. And what you do will affect what you believe. You see the cycle? There's some things you're never going to know until you just do it. Jet studied hard. Jet committed it into prayer. Now this is he's done it. He believes it. But he wouldn't believe it without doing it. It is a cycle. Our belief systems matter. I got time. Here's the next thing. We can't grab hold to a new belief system without letting go of an old one. We can't grab hold to a new belief system without letting go of an old one. Just because you've done something a certain way doesn't mean that it's the right way. Or it's still effective, or it's still going to serve you now. There are a lot of things that my parents did with me, the way they parented me, that I do with my kids. There are a lot of things I don't. Does that mean that what my parents did wasn't the right way? That was good, most of the time, sometimes. Except that time I had to ask Jesus to my heart again, but anyway. Dad still says, look at you, turned out fine. But that's the concept that a lot of parents will have today, is that work for me, it'll work for... No. You see, we like to say the kingdom is expanding, but we're not. We're not saying that, but we're saying that. We like to say the kingdom is expanding, but we're not. I'm not even going to get into this, but I'm going to say this. That's why Jesus said, it is imperative that I go so that the Spirit may come and keep expanding this thing. Keep expanding it. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Don't keep doing the things you've always done because you've done it that way or someone else has done it that way. But let God transform you, now look at this, into a new person. Not a renewed person. A new person. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which path to take, which habits to change, which things to start doing, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What you believe about what you're doing matters. And what you believe about who you are is everything. What you believe about what you're doing matters, but what you believe about who you are is everything. You see, you're going to have to go from wanting it to becoming it. And listen, you will become it when you finally believe it. You will become it when you finally believe it. You got to stop saying, well, I've always been this way. I've always had an anger problem. This has always been a habit for me. I've always identified with this. We've got to get back serious with what we're saying to ourselves and what we're saying about other people, because what we're saying keeps affecting what we are believing, and what we're believing keeps affecting what we're doing and what we're building. Dad said one time that what we think affects us, but what we say affects everyone. I shared with Chris about 3 or 4 weeks ago that I said, man, I become lazy with my thoughts and my words. Just lazy with them. And it's like those weeds that start building up, and it's that 1% worse every day. And then I realized, man, I don't even know how I got here, how this happened. And I said, I've got to start taking captive and get serious about what I'm thinking, what I'm saying again. And I told him, I said, I've got to get serious about what I'm thinking and saying about other people. just like Jets only let that cockroach live his life, sometimes you just let people go live their life. We have opinions, and we say these things about other people or even ourselves that have no redemptive qualities to it at all. Nothing redemptive is going to come from it. And we just say it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. While Chris and Anna were in Europe, and Jet and I were together, and John's in Asia, he had an allergist appointment. And we are headed, it's in Fayetteville, and we're headed, we go through Chick-fil-A beforehand, and something about those styrofoam cups and kids wanting to poke holes in it. And he's sitting in the back, and it's just spilling. He says that it was a default cup. May have been a default cup. Okay. Chick-fil-A not living their best life. Y'all know that ain't true. And it's just pouring out. And he says, why am I so stupid? Why am I so stupid? And he's gotten this habit of saying this. And usually I would just say, Jet, you're not stupid. I pulled that car over, had to clean them up, had to throw some stuff away. But I made an event out of this. I'm like, Jet, dude. And I thought, you know what? He's at an age now where I can really start unpacking scripture with him and him grasp it. I said, Jet, I said, Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. I said, are you stupid? He said, no. I said, if you keep saying this and believing it, you're going to believe you are, even though you aren't. Because a lie believed as truth will always affect you as though it's true. I said, Jet, I don't ever want to hear you say that again. I don't ever want to hear you say that again. In this book, he tells a story of two people who are trying to quit smoking. And he said, the first person is offered a cigarette. And that person's response is, no thanks, I'm trying to quit. They're still identifying themselves as a smoker, trying to choose this new direction. Second person they goes to and says, do you want a cigarette? He says, no, I'm not a smoker. He has left that old identity and grabbed hold to what he wants because he has decided, I'm going to become and believe that thing I want. You're going to have to start replacing every single lie with truth. John Landreth, you can come play guitar. Don't fall asleep. It's a real embarrassing when you sleep in your mama's medicine. Got a little jet lag. You get a hall pass today. I wrote down some scriptures I want to read to you about who you are. I am blameless. Christ himself is in me. I am firmly rooted in Christ and now being built up in him. I've been made complete in Christ. I am an expression of the life of Christ. I am chosen of God, holy, dearly, and loved. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace whenever I need it. I am one of God's living stones being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. I have been given great and precious promises by God that enable me to share in his divine nature. I am forgiven. I am anointed by God. I am loved. I am like Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You make the decision to shift direction. You get real about what you believe about that thing you're doing. You get real about what you're saying about yourself. Let me tell you, if there's ever been a time that we needed to lift people up and say nothing but good, now's the time. Say good. Don't say I'm going to praise my kids when they get better grades. Let me tell you, your children will become what they believe about themselves, what they hear. It is my duty to speak into your children's life and to always say, you're the head, not the tail. You are awesome. You are holy. You are good. You are smart. It's my job to tell you that. It's our job to tell everybody we see that. It's our job. Treat it like it's your job. Wake up every morning and say, it's my job today to speak encouraging words over someone. I hear people say, oh, they only post the good stuff about their spouse on Facebook. Thank God. Wouldn't it have been interesting scrolling through Facebook on Father's Day and y'all see me run across a post of Chris? And I'm like, yeah, happy Father's Day, Chris. Sometimes you hit it. A lot of times you miss it. Be really cool if you could feed Jet like a meal and not a box of Cheez-Its. That'd be cool. You don't want to see that. I'm not giving energy to that. You know why? Because he's going to be whatever I say he is. He's going to become whatever he believes about himself, and I'm going to tell him he's great. I'm going to tell my children they are fantastic. You don't have trouble telling Nellie and Cora how awesome they are, do you? It's easy. It's easy. It should be easy. It should be our primary language. Language number one, encouragement. What language you speak? Encouragement. Encouragement. That's what language I speak, encouragement. Shift directions. Get real about what you believe about these principles, and get even realer about what you believe about you and other people. And then number three, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't change directions because you're not seeing what you want to see when you want to see it. Don't go pick those carrots now. They're not ready. I don't know who said this or who wrote it, but there's some meme out there. I see it scroll through Facebook every once in a while. It says, don't go digging up in doubt what you planted in faith. Let the seed do its work, because if the seed's coming and you know it's coming, you're going to keep waiting for it. And you're going to keep doing the things you got to do to get there, because it's worth it. Don't stop. What if Joshua stopped on six? What if, what's his name, Naaman, who had leprosy? You know, he did. What if he dipped six times and not seven? Don't stop. If I've heard my mom quote this scripture one time, I've heard her quote it a million times. And it's in Galatians. It says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Look at that part. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because in just the right time, at just the right time, at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Joey always says something in this class, and he'll say, just keep coming, keep doing it. And he'll say, sometimes, you know, you're sore, and he'll tell anybody who's new coming to class, and he'll say, you're going to be sore tomorrow. You can stay home and be sore, or you can come back and be sore. You choose where you're going to be sore and what you're going to be doing. But then he always says, but then all of a sudden, over time, all of a sudden, over the time, Jet's carrot's going to be ready. That marriage you're dreaming about, it's going to be good. That relationship is going to be good. That dream you want to see unfold in your life, that bold move, Larson, you made a bold move, you stay on the path and you stay committed to it, and that dream's going to unfold for you. You trust, you trust, you trust, and you keep doing the things that you know to do, and you get out the obstacles and the naysayers of people telling you you've lost your mind. You haven't lost your mind, because you are a divine child who is on a path to fulfilling her destiny. And God is committed to it. God is committed to your destiny. It takes time. Marsha posted yesterday about she and David, and she said, this didn't happen all of a sudden, but you stuck to it. And aren't you glad you did? Don't give up. Don't quit. And let me tell you, my dad preached a message years ago, one of my favorite messages. You should really preach it again, Miriam. And he talked about, sometimes we get off course whether we know we're off course or don't know we're off course. And God's got this internal GPS inside of you, just says, recalculating, recalculating. His grace is enough. His mercy is overflowing. Recalculating. God's got life 360 on you. You can't get lost because he's with you. Everywhere you go, he's with you. He's with you. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. Stand. And I'm going to pray. If you want prayer this morning, maybe you just need to, I think all of us need to do something 1% tomorrow. I got a 1%. I got a 1%. Maybe you need encouragement to stay the course. I'm going to ask you to come down for prayer. Go ahead and be coming down. Or maybe you're saying, I need somebody to put the Life 360 on me and find me and point me in a different direction. Help me. We're here to do that. We're here to do that. Not fix you. Just say, here, go this way. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. If you want prayer, I'll pray for you. If not, I'll just pray for everybody. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. I thank you that you go before us. I thank you, Father, that whatever direction we're headed in, Lord, that you're always there. I thank you that your principles are good, that they are true. Thank you, Father, that for what you've spoken over our lives, for who we are, and that we just come against anything, any negative word that would try to hover in our thoughts and say, you can't do it. And we just take it captive and we replace it with the truth that we can do all things through you. And we set our life, Father, all of us set our life in a direction, on a course, Lord, to live our very, very, very best life because you came that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly, more, not just so that we can experience it and have fun for ourselves, but because we can help those around us have more and more. And it goes even farther out beyond these walls and beyond this community and around the world. It's not just for us, it's for everyone. No one is excluded from God's goodness. No one is excluded from righteousness, peace, and joy. No one is excluded. No one is excluded. I don't care if you're at the border, you're not excluded. I don't care if you're in this house, you're not excluded. I don't care where you are, who you are not excluded. God's got a plan for your life and his desire to fulfill it, and he wants to do it through us. Through us. It's our job. It's our job. It's our job. No one's excluded. It's our job to tell them that. It's our job. Amen? All right.
God good? How often? Oh, you remembered. You remembered. Ushers are coming to worship God with our giving. I want to thank you for your continual support. We got some exciting things in the future. We'll be sharing with you soon. But right now, we're just going to believe, hope, and continue on. Amen. Joy, while they're coming, why don't you come and share a little bit? Not preach, just share your testimony.
Ooh, that was good. That was good. While they're taking up the offering, what I wanted to talk to you about this morning just a little bit is this. Youth camp is coming up. It's the 28th of July through the 31st. This will be my second youth camp as youth pastor, so I got a little experience behind me. I'm ready for this one. But here's what I wanted to ask you about as a congregation. First thing is this. The cost for camp is $175 for the students. I have had a number of people who have come to me and said, if somebody's having trouble, please let me know. And it's kind of hard for me to be able to remember who all has told me that and go back and tell you. So let me tell you the easiest way. We have had here at our church for quite some time a fund that was established in the name of Arnold Travis, and it's called the Arnie Fund. And you can make a donation toward the youth camp and just put that for the Arnie Fund in there, and the money will get in the right hands, I promise you. We do have some that need some help this year, so if you can do that, we really appreciate it. We raised some money through the t-shirt sales, and that's going well, but anything helps, okay? The second thing and the most pressing thing for me is this. We're changing the site of the camp. We're going to be over in Covington at the FFA camp over there. And because of that, because it's changed, I am in desperate need of some counselors, some adults that will go with us just to be with us and help us through that. I'm in desperate need more than anything for female counselors. Right now I have 8 girls that are signed up, but I don't have a counselor. So we're going to go to camp if I have to hire somebody. So, but I would really like it if somebody here has those dates that are open. We'll leave on the 28th, that's a Sunday after church, and we'll be back on the 31st, which is on Wednesday, or just after lunch, okay? So if you can help us with that, that'd be great. I could also use a man, if anybody wants to help with that, just come see me, send a message or call the church, and I'll get in touch with you. You don't have to do anything but that. Just be there and be sure that they get where they're supposed to be. And I will say this about this group. They're all good. Last year was my first camp, and I told Will when we left, I was like, this is not anything that I remember when I was a young person. Because they all were where they were supposed to be on time without anybody corralling them. I know when I was in the youth group, I had a pair of handcuffs on me most of the time, you know, carrying me here and there. But they're a great group. But we'd love to have some help. If you can do that, please let me know. Thank you.
Appreciate you saying you'd hire them and pay for them. Yeah. I got some things coming up I'll be seeing you about. Is that cool? You know, I just want to say this and bless you to go. That is so true. The way is narrow, compressed, it's hard. But the results of it is worth every effort. The result is worth every effort. No gain, you ever heard? No gain, no pain, no what? No gain, no pain, no gain. It takes discipline. It takes stick-to-itness. It takes keeping your hand on the plow. And it's all worth the effort. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your continual grace and mercies that are new every morning. I bless this congregation. I bless these families. I bless those that are wherever they are right now. We just send forth your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.